You're listening to Real Presence Live on the Real Presence Radio Network. Join in the conversation on our Facebook page or on Twitter. And be sure to like and follow us for more great Catholic content. Now, back to the show.
All right, we begin hour two of Real Presence Live this morning. Thanks for staying with us. We had a really good first hour talking about some of the things with the Eucharistic Pilgrimage coming up, Eucharistic Congress, the Star of the North Eucharistic Congress, rather, coming up in Bemidji, and obviously just finished up a wonderful conversation with Deb Call of Memory Cafe. So if you happen to miss any of that, I want to encourage you to check out the podcast and listen to those segments because it will be well worth your time. You can find them on our website, realpresenceradio.com, also on the Real Presence Radio app. All right, our next segment here is welcoming in Jason Adkins of the Minnesota Catholic Conference. We have our weekly update here, finding out what's happening in the legislature. So good morning, Jason. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Good to be with you today.
Well, one of the things that we want to talk about is this so-called Equal Rights Amendment, which on the surface sounds like it should be a pretty good thing. But tell us a little bit about what this actually is.
Well, there are a number of constitutional amendments being proposed this year in Minnesota for the ballot. And this one, what it does is, because Minnesota does not have an equality clause in its constitution, though it does have through its case law protection of equal rights. We also have a civil rights statute in Minnesota. What it does is to purport to promote equality and non-discrimination principles across a whole spectrum of protected classes, such as race, ethnicity, national origin, disability. But interestingly, it doesn't include protection for religion. And then when you scratch your head and wonder why it doesn't include protection for religion, despite religion is typically always included in civil rights laws and things like this, then you realize the main purpose of the amendment is to promote abortion and transgender ideology. And then you say, oh, okay, so now I understand why religion's not included, because they want some rights and some interests to trump others. But it's really problematic that in doing so, they're leaving Minnesotans of all backgrounds and all faiths open to being subject to religious discrimination and not having remedies in our Constitution to address that discrimination. So it's a really, really troubling amendment and really harmful to both individuals of faith, the unborn, and the common good.
Yeah, well, and we're seeing what's happening federally as well with the equal opportunity amendments and how they're rewriting the Civil Rights Acts of 1964 and everything. But what I want people to understand is that this local level can sometimes have more of an impact. So watching this bill and seeing how it's progressed, unfortunately, it has now made it out of committee and it's heading to a vote on the House floor. Do we have any timelines on when that might happen, Jason?
Yeah, it's going to be probably be very soon, perhaps I think Monday is the timeline that we're looking at for a full vote. Amendments will probably have to be filed by noon on Friday. So it's coming up quick. Fortunately, we were prepared and had some idea that this was coming. So there will be a big rally today at the Capitol in Minnesota at 3 o'clock. A number of organizations, including Minnesota Catholic Conference, are encouraging people to come attend that rally, voice their opposition to this. The erosion of rights amendment, as we're calling it. It's not the equal rights amendment. It's not about protecting women like the ERA of the 70s. It's really the erosion of rights amendment and the abortion and gender amendment. Bishop Joseph Williams, auxiliary bishop of the Archdiocese, will be in attendance and be speaking at this rally today, as well other prominent faith and community leaders, talking about why this constitutional amendment is harmful for Minnesota.
So this is going to a vote on the House floor. Do we have any gauge about the likelihood that this passes and heads to the Senate?
I think it's really important that folks voice their opposition. They can go to mncatholic.org. Again, that's mncatholic.org, and let people know that this amendment, particularly because it does not include protections against religious discrimination for all Minnesotans, should be kept off the ballot. It's being rushed through committee. It has a ton of budgetary implications. It has a ton of policy implications, and it really has not been vetted in the House. So it would be really poor lawmaking for them to rush this amendment through, particularly because they're trying to put it on the ballot not in 2024, but in 2026. So there's no need to put this ballot question on in front of the voters right now. It can take some more time to be vetted, but there is a strong chance that it could very well pass the House. So people need to be vigilant. They need to contact their legislators, and they need to share that with them why that's a problem. We have that action alert at mncatholic.org ready to go.
Jason, I feel like when other states have been confronted with mostly pro-abortion legislation, they trick voters who are compassionate into voting for something that they ultimately don't really believe in. What kind of language are the pro-equal rights amendment people using to kind of trick potential compassionate Catholics into thinking this is good stuff?
Yeah, who's against equal rights, right? Everyone's
right.
Against equality and fairness. It's not necessary in this for this amendment because we already have a multitude of protections for those things in both state and federal law. But to your point about the language, they're saying that state actors, and by that they'll eventually mean anyone who receives public funding. They even suggested that anyone who has a tax-exempt status might be subject to penalties for discrimination. If you, quote, discriminate on the basis of, in their words, sex, but that includes pregnancy, gender, and gender identity or expression. So if you're discriminating against on any of those, and including pregnancy, which they mean abortion, and it also could mandate, you know, constitutionally mandated taxpayer funding infertility treatments. So there's a lot of significant implications. People don't realize they're voting for abortion up to birth and protecting abortion up to birth because they're voting against pregnancy discrimination, and we shouldn't discriminate against women for being pregnant or not being pregnant. For sure. But so that's the type of language they're using that, as you suggest, is really deceptive. Voters are going to get a lot more than simply some basic rules against discriminating against people on the basis of sex or pregnancy status. It does include gender identity and gender expression. So that is as much at least as clear.
Yeah. Jason, I think your first point is also really key. Because it's easy for us to see things that are in there, but it's hard for us to remember the things that are not. So the exclusion of discrimination based on religion is something that most people will just read through it and not even think that it's not there because religion is protected at a federal level. And so what are some other things that you mentioned, the rally at the Capitol today? What other things is mncatholic.org doing to get this awareness out there?
Well, we're certainly lobbying legislators very proactively about this and explaining to them why this is a problem. I want to point out, too, that a really important aspect of this is, you know, you hear the bill author saying, the proponent say, well, essentially, we have to find out what's in the bill. We have to pass the bill to find out what's in it.
I've heard that before.
Because
that's a glance at Nancy Pelosi right there.
I was working in health insurance
exactly
at the
right.
time. That brings back bad memories.
Well, it's really the legislature, one branch of government, giving a blank check to another branch of government, yeah. The judiciary, to rewrite anti-discrimination law and impose all sorts of policy mandates and to punish people for discrimination well outside of what this little simple amendment language may provide. You're essentially giving judges a blank check to interpret this broadly and create all kinds of policy mandates, including policy mandates that have costs on taxpayers of Minnesota, including constitutionally mandated taxpayer funding of abortion, infertility treatments, all sorts of things. Of this nature. So it's really, really problematic just from the standpoint of separation of powers. Typically when we pass laws, we understand what the legislative intent is. They're meant to solve a particular problem. Not this amendment. It's really trying to mandate abortion and gender ideology upon Minnesotans, to not provide protections for those traditional faith communities and persons who dissent, and to create mandates across the board on a number of fronts. So it's really vital that people go to mncatholic.org, click on the Catholic Action Network, join the Catholic Action Network, take action, and contact your legislators. If we want our policymakers to make good laws, then we need to be in touch with them and explain to them why laws are good or they are bad. Otherwise, they're just going to assume that people don't really care.
Yeah, and I think what concerns me the most is this vagueness and how this amendment really will serve as a vehicle to push through whatever they want to. And it reminds me of a couple of years ago, we got a call from one of our legislators or an email, and they were talking about this approach to providing quality education, right? And our question, mine and my wife's question was, well, who defines quality?
Right.
Who defines these things that are in these amendments, in these bills? Because that's going to have a major impact. And I think that's some of the things, like, we see these words and they look good, but we have to remember those who are defining the terms, don't we, Jason?
That's exactly right. Who's going to be writing these? And it's going to be judges deciding what constitutes discrimination, what is required for equality under the law. These are undefined terms, and again, it's giving judges that opportunity to impose all sorts of mandates. So I just want to underscore the importance of citizens coming forward, taking action. We've had a great success this year in stopping assisted suicide from passing and moving forward, and that's because people stood up, they talked to their legislators from across the various sectors and communities, and that does make a difference. Those important conversations with your elected officials really, really do matter. And so in these critical days, it's especially important that you can do something as simple as click the mouse and send a note to your legislator. You can personalize it. And then I think really a lot of our efforts this session have been blessed through the power of prayer, having adoration at the Capitol on First Fridays. And so really maybe take an hour, a citizenship hour, a holy hour for the state of Minnesota, our elected officials, to pray for them that they may make wise decisions.
Amen. Jason, as always, thank you for joining us this morning, and thank you for the important work that you're doing. We are off next week due to our pledge drive, but we certainly look forward to visiting with you again as we recap the whole legislative session, which I believe is coming to an end on May 20th, correct?
That's correct.
So certainly, everybody, this is at a very crucial time. These last couple weeks is a very crucial time. This is where we save the biggest bills, the biggest decisions in the legislative session. So keep your prayers coming for the work that they do at Minnesota Catholic Conference and, of course, for all of our legislators. So thanks again, Jason. Appreciate your time.
Thanks so much. Have a blessed day.
Thanks, guys.
All right, coming up on Real Presence Live next week, as I mentioned, is our spring live drive. So we'll have Lori Calgard, our very own Lori Calgard, joining us to fill in the details on how you can continue to support this important work that we do, bringing you messages, bringing you the truth like we just talked about with Jason. So stay with us. We'll bring you all that information shortly.
This is Real Presence Live, where the focus is not on the evil around us, but on conversion and mercy through the good news that is always good. We're local, engaging, and live on the Real Presence Radio Network.
Daily Meditations of Pope Benedict XVI, presented by Leonardo Di Filippis of St. Luke Productions.
The Baptism of the Lord. In the Gospel account of the baptism of Jesus, the mystery of death and resurrection, sin and redemption, sin and forgiveness is prefigured. Jesus descends into the depths of the Jordan. Being submerged in the river is a symbolic representation of the process of death. An old life is buried so that a new one can arise. Because Jesus himself is without sin and has no old life to bury, his acceptance of baptism is an anticipation of the cross, whereby he begins to share in our lot and to take upon himself our sins and our death. At the moment when he comes up out of the river, the heavens part, and from them is heard the voice in which the Father acknowledges him as his Son. The opening of heaven is a sign that this descent into our night is the dawning of a new day, that the barrier between God and man is being broken down by this identification of the Son with us. God is no longer inaccessible. In the depths of our sins and even of death, he searches for us and brings us into the light again. To this extent, the baptism of Jesus anticipates the entire drama of his life and death, and at the same time explains them to us.
This meditation is taken from Benedictus, published by Ignatius Press and Magnificat, and produced by St. Luke Productions. Learn more at stlukeproductions.com.